I guess the key word here is harmless. Is harmless okay? That's what we're going to look at tonight. Look in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah, his name by translation means dove. In Matthew 10, be harmless as doves. So we can apply that to Jonah and say, was he a harmless man? And if you know the story, he was fairly harmless, wasn't he? He had no heart for any soul. He witnessed to nobody, but he was a man of God. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. There's a Jewish tradition that says the widow of Zarephath that Elijah raised from the dead was this Jonah. But you know how traditions go. You can't prove it. I guess it makes for a good thought to have, and there's no evidence to it. Everybody's got their traditions, ain't they? And Jonah, if we look at the first chapter, that's all we're going to look at. There's so much in there that it's mind-boggling. And Jonah was running from himself. He and who was he? He was a prophet. Look in 2 Kings 14:25. We're just getting a little introduction here and some facts on him. 2 Kings 14:25. He restoreth the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gather-Hepher. So now we know he was a prophet, right? He was a man of God. And he was running from himself. It says in Jonah 1:1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to the Nineveh, that great city. But he went the opposite way because he didn't want to do it. He was running from himself. And he was running from his service. What was his service? It says in chapter 2, and cry against the wickedness that's come up before me, and cry unto Nineveh, go to it and preach the word. Cry against it. For it is, their wickedness has come up before me. The Bible says it was a great city. History tells us it was a fairly good-sized city. But I look at it like this. I believe the sin was so bad in that city, that's why God called it a great city. It was a great city of sinners. That's why the cry went up to him. Just like the Egyptians was so bad to the Hebrews that a great cry went up. They was not looking for God, but they was crying out to somebody to help them. That's what happens to us when we realize we're sinners. A cry goes up to help us, and God reaches down his hand to save us. So Jonah is a thick book of deep thoughts. That's what I'm trying to bring out tonight. Help me, Lord. I need help. I hope nobody gets offended by anything I say or do tonight. I'm just going to tell you what the Lord laid on my heart. And Jonah was running from the Lord God of Israel in Jonah 1:3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he had paid the fare thereof, and went down into it. So he was running from the presence of the Lord. Have we ever done that? Yeah. The Lord has put something on our hearts, ain't it? Every now and then. And we just refuse to do it. So I was in a nursing home ministry, done it about 7 years down at the Bryan Center West. And week after week, month after month, and it turned into years, I'd walk by this lady's room. She was paralyzed. Stop, knock on her, invite her to the service. She'd say no. Okay, this went on for a long time. One night I walked by her room and I said, it's a waste of my time. I just walked on up the hall, and I hit a wall, folks. I couldn't go no farther. I did. I had to turn back and went and knocked on her door, asked her to go to the service. She said yes. I had a Jonah attitude. The Lord taught me that night, it wasn't my service I was doing, it was His. It wasn't my work I was doing, it was His. And it wasn't my way to do the work, it was the Lord's way. So we got to do it His way and never give up. Never try to say, well, it's a waste of time. But that's what Jonah done, wasn't it? He walked up and down the docks, and he never spoke to nobody. He got him a passage on the ship, and he went down into the ship. He never stopped and talked to nobody. He didn't witness to nobody. But I tell you, he was walking down the docks and looking around, and all of a sudden, it said he went with them. That's a negative term, ain't it? That's a derogatory term. It's like them over here. You don't want to call them who they are. You're calling this. No offense, folks. I'm just making a point here. And he called them them. And that's in Jonah 1:3. To go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You see, he had no respect for these people. In other words, he had no respect for himself either. And he didn't see them. He was walking around looking down his nose at them, as the old saying goes. And we do that sometimes too, don't we? I want everybody in here tonight to think. I believe everybody's got a group of people that they're nervous about witnessing to. They're anxious about witnessing to. They don't like to talk to this group of people. They might even despise them. Jonah hated them. That's strong words, ain't it? And we've all got a group we don't feel comfortable around, don't we? I know I've got my group. I mean, real good people. Nothing wrong with them. It's just something in here, you see. You get something in your head and you say, well, you know, them drunks over there, them addicts, them child molesters, those Muslims, whoever, whatever group you think it is, that group that comes up your driveway with the Watchtower magazine in their pocket, the Jehovah Witness. A lot of people is proud about running them off their property. Why not evangelize them? Talk to them. I mean, they're messed up, folks. They got a twisted doctrine and stuff. You see, that's just like talking to any lost person. If they don't know who the Lord really is, they're lost. That's just the way the Bible puts it out. And that's the way Jonah seen them. You see, he didn't want to go to Nineveh because they was the Assyrian city, the mortal enemies of Israel for decades and centuries, cruel people. Are we so different than they are? We're just lost people, saved by grace. Right? Yeah. You see, if we'd have been in the Middle East and a missionary come by and saved us, we'd be just as saved as anybody, right? It don't matter who it is. But see, Jonah wanted a say in it. He did. You see, he didn't want those Assyrians to get saved. And I think it was a little stronger than that, folks. Look in Exodus chapter 4, around verse 22. That's the wrong verse. There it is, verse 23. Yes, 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. You see, the firstborn in Israel had a special place. They got a double share of everything. They was put in control. And Jonah knew this. He had been brought up that the God of Israel would fight for them no matter what. He brought them out of Egypt. He knew all the stories, defeated all their enemies for them. And when they were stubborn, he put them into bondage under other people. Jonah knew all this. He didn't want the Assyrians or anybody else encroaching on his little universe of God's only people of Israel. But see, God don't see it that way. If you study the Old Testament, Israel would let anybody come into their fold and stay with them and live with them if you live like they did. If you obeyed the laws and done what they was, you was an alien Israelite. That's what you was. Jonah didn't want that. He had something in his heart that kept him from it. Nineveh was northeast about 500 miles. Tarshish is west about 2,000 miles. So he was determined, wasn't he? He was determined. But see, them in Jonah 1:3 is negative. It don't like them. And we've all got that, like I said. Keep that in your mind tonight. And look in Acts 9:2. Acts chapter 9 and verse 2. There was a man, Saul, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, which is the same term as them, whether they were men or women, he might bring them unto bondage. Jonah is a righteous man looking at sinners. Saul of Tarsus is a sinner looking at Christians. So it's the same way, folks. That's the way the world sees us. If you really live for the Lord and they can see it, then it's a negative. We're a negative to them because we're a thorn in their side. We should be. We should be. But we can't be harmless, can we? We have to stand up for the Lord. We have to try to talk to every person we meet and not be afraid. Because the Lord, you see, we don't have to do nothing. We don't. You see, one man planteth, one man watereth, but God gives the increase. He gave us every word that we need to say to anybody to help them. And the trouble we have is when we start putting what I think into the conversation, right? That's when it starts, tempers flares and argument starts and it just goes out of control. Just let the Lord take care of it. And He will. He'll take care of it. Now, a little later on, there was a big storm come up. Maybe it was worse than Arachlodon. Maybe it wasn't, but it was a bad storm. So these negative people, them, they started working. The waves got so big that they started floundering the ship. In other words, the waves was coming over the ship, so they started throwing all the weight, all the goods and cargo, off the ship to make it lighter to ride on the waves. I was in the Navy 4 years riding around on the big ponds, and I've been through some really bad storms. I've actually seen footprints on the wall where the ship rolls back and forth. And you can imagine a little wooden ship, how they were doing. And they were out there working, folks. They was trying to save their lives, the captain's lives, the passengers' lives, and they was trying to save Jonah's life. They was doing all they could. And here in 1:5, and the mariners were afraid, okay? It went from them to mariners. Why? Because they have a purpose. They all of a sudden, they're worth something, you know? Don't everybody have a purpose in God's plan? Sure we do. How many of us really fulfills that? I fail all the time. I'm slothful. I mean, I know that. But I try to do what I can. I could do more. And through the help of the Lord, we can grow and do more, do all we can. But see, that's the way it changes. It went from them to the mariners, the men after the salt. That's what that means. Seamen, sailors. When we was down in Charleston, South Carolina, there was signs on the people's yard says, dogs and sailors stay off the grass. So yeah, we was well loved. Pillars of the community. No, folks, we wasn't. We was rowdy. We was rambunctious. mostly lost people just running around the world doing what we was told. But we was lost, looking for something. And it wasn't on the ocean, and it wasn't on the land, it was in the heaven. That's what we was having. A void in everybody's heart. They're looking for something all the time. And Jonah, he's changing his attitude a little bit, ain't he? Now he's calling them men with a purpose that's worth something. And, you know, it's looking like he's accepting them. You know, he's looking at them. But he was down there asleep. This is afterwards. And apparently his conscience didn't bother him. Right? He was in this big storm and he was down there asleep. He never witnessed to nobody. He refused to go to Nineveh. And he was running from the Lord. But he was sound asleep like a little baby. Does that tell you something? Can we do that? I've had that happen to me a few times. Walk away from something I didn't want to do, and the Lord just pecked me on the shoulder and said, nope, you got to go back and do that. You know, that helps you, folks. That helps you. That reassures you that the Lord's looking after you. He's wanting you to do something. You know, you can keep on walking, and he'll let you go. But if you hear that still, small voice and answer it, he'll lead you. He'll guide you, and he'll help you. Then in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid. It went from them to mariners to men. And it just ain't men that means males. This word ish in the Hebrew means men of courage, men of honor. It's a high standard of man. He was looking down his nose at them at one point. He recognized them for a work. Now he's looking at them as men, real men. Look in, why did he call them that? Did you ever read through there? And I ask the Bible questions, I do. I come up with a little saying, that's the way I learn and study is, ask the Bible questions, but never question the Bible. When you find the answer, it's sealed. You see? Ask it questions. It'll tell you the answer if you dig hard enough, but never question the answer. Right? Because that answer that you're given in Jonah goes all the way back to guess where? The life of Christ. The life of Christ. Look in, it's in 1:7 is the reason he looked at them like that. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Right before that, in verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper, Jonah? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So all these people in the ship was calling on their personal God. Whether it was Dagon, Ashtoreth, Chemosh, whoever it was. Every god was called on except the God of Israel. Okay, then their only other thing that they could do that they know to do was cast lots. And you know what that means. I hope you know what casting lots mean. Look in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 20. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Martai was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they had sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if any man should come hither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. They was casting lots for the first king of Israel. In other words, they was asking the Lord for answers. Look in Esther 3:7. In Esther 3:7, I'm in the wrong book. In the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of the king Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. He was casting lots to find out the best day to have the Jews and Mordecai executed. You see, they were asking God this. Feast of Purim is a Dakan word for lots. So the Feast of Purim is casting lots. It's asking God for his direction, for his guidance. Look in Matthew 27:35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, cast in lots, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. And that's what happened, wasn't it? You know, lots is powerful in the Bible. And these sailors out here, after they prayed to their gods, they started casting lots. In other words, they was asking the true God of Israel, what should I do? That's why they're called men. They called on God. And that's what we should do when we get in trouble, is call on the Lord. Not last, but first. Because every tragedy that comes in the house, usually we try to stand up and take the brunt of it, don't we? We try to do something ourselves. Then when it gets a little worse, we want to turn it over to the Lord. The Bible says to cast your cares on him first, and he'll take care of them. But see, Jonah didn't want to do that. He was down there asleep. He was running from everybody. He didn't care. Look in Matthew 12 and verse 39 through 41. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of men, the heart of the earth. So see, the prophet Jonas is the only prophet that Jesus likened himself to. A lot of people, schools, seminaries, a lot of different people say that the book of Jonas is just a fairy tale, a magical book. So if that's true, then what's Jesus doing likening himself to Jonas? No, the book of Jonah is real, folks. It's a look, in my view, it's a look down. God's looking down on us and seeing what's going on. Seeing that we're sinners. We're not worth much, are we? But we can be worth something if we let God in our heart. And we can be men if we call upon God. And that's why Jonah, he called them men, because they called on the Lord. And that can change our lives, can't it? If we take those groups that I asked you to remember in your head, and we look at them like the Bible tells us, through these steps and let them grow and let them see the potential of every one of us, then we can be a better witness. We can step over our frailties and go out and witness better and stronger to people around us and not be afraid of them. that holds a lot of people back is fear. And if you ask the Lord for anything, He'll give it to us. Thank you for your attention.